We have a picture of a boy sitting on a beach. Now, immediately I've actually put it into context, but I shouldn't have done. We have a boy sitting surrounded by pebbles, and he has a spade next to him. Seems to be a spade. Doesn't have any shoes on. What's he doing? If you had to describe that scene, how would you describe it? What's happening? Where is it happening? How old is the boy? Why doesn't he have shoes on? What part of the world is this in? And when you've done all of that, you might come up with some answers to say, well, this is a young boy, he's got no shoes because he's poor. He's got no shoes, and he's come from an impoverished part of the world, therefore. So what we seem to have is a picture of child labour. Now, the question I'd ask then is that the only interpretation? Well, when children go onto the beach, they take their shoes off. So could this be a picture of somebody at the beach? And he just happens to have taken his dad's spade along because the pebbles are a bit big. But he's collecting pebbles in order to help build the family house. The first interpretation will make you feel angry. Why should this child be working? He should be at school. That's what we say, because our children are at school when they're 8, they don't go out. But the second interpretation might get a different set of attitudes from you. Because if it is the child doing things for the family, then what we've got here is an example of collaboration, of children doing things for the family, of a good activity rather than a bad activity. So the second part of any reflection after you've described things is trying to analyse what emotions it brings forward. Because reflection is about emotions as well. And that's important because that will lead on to a third point. You then might want to do something about it. So if you have described the situation in terms of the first scenario and the first set of feelings and attitudes, you might say, right, child labour, that's wrong. We must do something about this. So either you might go off and actually join an organisation, or you might go onto the web and find more about child labour and find if there are any action groups. The second scenario, where you're doing things for the family, won't instigate such activity. So if you transfer that back to the workplace, your description and how you feel about it are quite important because it will lead you into action. And if you base your action on the wrong assumptions, you're in serious trouble. And that's one of the things that reflection asks you to do. Is this actually what you're seeing? Or are you filtering what you're seeing through your own preset prejudices, views and attitudes? Other people can't reflect for you. They can reflect on you. They can give you their views of what you've done. But no one other than you can do it. So you have to see that reflection is an activity, and it's an activity that you do for yourself, and it's part of being an active learner. So reflection in any type of learning, this process of looking at things, thinking about things, noting down what you've seen, and then trying to work out what you ought to do as a result of all that, is a sort of staged approach. And that's quite crucial. What we're trying to get you to see is that reflection consists of a number of stages. It's not a mechanical process, and these stages may be of different length, they may happen at different times, sometimes you may do more of one than another. But essentially, in all cases, it's a sort of cyclical process in which you look at something, you think about it, you note down what's there, you see what your attitude is, you then see what you ought to do as a result of that thinking, and then you try and implement it. And then you reflect back as to whether it's worked. So this goes, it goes on. The point is, in a sense, there's no particular end sometimes to this process. Learning is a lifelong process in one way. So that what you'll get is a simple step where we move from the description to the emotions to noting down all of this to then deciding how to act. And then evaluating that to see whether it worked and going back to it again and starting the process over, not the whole process over, but I think of a sort of spiral, which you may not always revisit the total picture that you started with, but you revisit some parts of it. There are a number of theoretical models to explain all this activity, one which many people use, that of Kolb. And the suggestion is you go through four phases. So that what you do is have the experience of whatever type, which is this little bit of learning. You then try and sort of experiment about it. You only reflect upon what you've done, and on the basis of that, you then do something concrete, you implement things. And you revisit it. So the idea is that what we've got is a cycle. Different aspects of this cycle may be easier than others. So some people are very concrete, they're very active. They immediately see something and wow, there it is, that's what we're going to do. Other people sit there for hours trying to think about things. What shall we do? Shall we do this or do that? There's different ways of doing it. It's rather like, though it's not quite the same, trying to choose wallpaper. Some people go into the shop, that's it, I've got it, there's my piece of wallpaper. Other people sit there for hours, take different pieces, hang it all over their wall, look at it, and think very long and hard about how it fits, the context, etc. The good learner is someone who has an adequate grasp of each part of this cycle and does each bit, not equally, but in a way which is sufficient to make their learning profitable. Let's look about how this relates to your experiences in the workplace and how your experience in the workplace should be seen as a process of active learning. So the first thing you need to do is to describe the situation. What did you actually see? What was actually happening? Who was doing what? And you need to learn how to be factual in your descriptions. And that involves you actually seeing whether what you saw was actually what was happening. Because you have to remember, as we said at the beginning, that you will see this through your own values and attitudes. You may come in with preconceptions about what ought to be happening in this situation. So what you need to be able to do is to describe in very factual terms what is going on, who is doing what, who is in charge of what, how it works. Then what you need to record this, and you need to reflect upon what you've recorded then to see, well, why have you put it down that way? Perhaps you should say to yourself, is there another explanation for why this has happened? So it's important at this stage that you start to try and think, what preconceptions did you have? What assumptions did you make about how people would relate to each other? And when you've reflected on that, of course, you then have to do some activity, because you need to work out, well, what are you going to do? What you do is describe the situation, factually, it has what's happening, then see what are the values and attitudes that underlie your description. Record all this in as much detail as you can, reflect on that, and then on the basis of that, you do something. It's a fairly simple cycle, though the process itself isn't simple.